What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives.
What's up, Em?
What's up?
It's Christmas time. Well, start of Christmas time.
Yeah.
I guess depending. It's after Thanksgiving. Beginning of December.
Yeah. That's Christmas.
That's Christmas.
There
right?
you go. That's Christmas. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice holiday season.
Yeah, everybody loves the holiday
Halloween
season.
Once Halloween starts, it's just holidays for the end of the year. It's just...
Yeah, and Halloween starts in, like, September now.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yep. Especially with me. Once I can get pumpkin at any, like, given place, it's Halloween.
Yep. The fall, as soon as that first leaf drops, Halloween.
Yep. Works for me.
Thanksgiving gets a little day, and then all of a sudden, right into Christmas.
Literally.
I think if they stores and stuff had their way, they would just skip Thanksgiving and just put Christmas stuff out.
Seriously. Honestly, most of them do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this episode really has nothing to do with Christmas.
Well, we're also not a podcast that talks Christmas. To be continued.
To be continued.
Yes.
But this week, in the confines of Coffee County, which is just a place that I would like to live. If that is the place
Coffee County.
Like, how nice. I love that.
Yeah.
In the confines of Coffee County, just off Highway 55 in Tennessee, lies Concord Cemetery. What would appear to be a standard generation old church and cemetery lies the supposed final resting place of an alleged witch.
We all love a good witch.
Dun, dun, dun. The witch's headstone lies not far from the church and tends to be covered with offerings of coin, crystals, and other items that are left as offerings to not be cursed. Other than the offerings that surround it, the headstone lays bare with just a name, Sadie Baker.
Sadie Baker. Did she make any bread?
I'm not sure. You'd have to ask her. You let me know if you talk to her.
I will. It's probably a bad thing if I talk to her.
I would agree. As legend tells, in the early 1800s, the Sheldon family had the most beautiful and eligible young ladies in Coffee County. The youngest Sheldon girl, Olivia, was said to be the most beautiful and kind-hearted of them all. She had long, dark hair, blue eyes, and tan skin. Many men were trying to marry her, not only for her beauty, but she was also known to be very kind. I feel like her kindness is proven with the start of the legend. The story says that Olivia encountered a mysterious beggar girl about her age. She had ragged, dirty clothes and tangled dark hair. She had never seen this woman before. She asked her name and where she was from, but she gets no reply. The girl did not speak. She only held out her hand as if she was asking for money or for food. Being the kind soul she was, Olivia took the girl in, cleaning her and giving her clothes to wear. After receiving a proper bath, the mysterious girl was revealed to be another beautiful girl, even more beautiful than the Sheldon daughters. She had green eyes, blonde hair, and porcelain skin. She is essentially the exact opposite of Olivia as far as looks go. She was believed to be in her early 20s and around the same size as Olivia, which was convenient that they could share clothes.
Yeah, it works.
Right?
You only
have
to buy or get clothes for one.
Right. This is where things start to go south in our story here.
Aren't we in the north?
Well, yeah, but we're going south here.
Okay.
Upon discovery of the girl's beauty, all the men in town became infatuated with her. All the Sheldon daughters were furious and panicked that she would steal all the men in town, which makes no sense to me because how is she going to steal all the men?
Yeah.
Like, if she can only pick one, realistically, here.
I mean,
I guess, like, they could all fall in love with her, but, like...
Yeah.
Let's be real here. This also angered Olivia's mother and father. The anger only grew when the mystery girl's beauty began to affect her other daughter's marriage prospects. They considered putting the girl back out on the streets, but soon came to the realization that most likely another family or person would just take her in and they'd just be back to square one, so that wouldn't work.
And she'd probably still steal the guy.
Yeah, right, and we be in the same boat anyway.
Yeah.
So, they did what any normal sane family would do. They just keep her trapped in the house. They just lock her up in the house.
Why not?
Duh. She was told she wasn't allowed to leave for her own safety, but it was really just to buy time until all the Sheldon daughters were married so that she wouldn't interfere. Crazy. Like, absolutely wild.
You can't do anything until all of us are married.
Yeah, you just gotta stay here then until all of everybody's married. The family obviously wasn't allowed to talk about the mute girl that they were keeping locked away inside their house to anyone. And they 100% were not allowed to take her out of the house. It was a big, big no-no. Big shocker, the rules were broken. After only a few days, Olivia decided to take the mystery girl out to the store with her. As for, in her words, she wasn't concerned of the mute girl's beauty. She was confident. She had no concerns.
None.
Word spread pretty fast, and one specific hopeful man showed up at the Shelton store the very next day. Unfortunately for Olivia, this happened to be the most eligible man in town. The guy Olivia was hoping would soon pick her as his wife. He asked for the mystery woman's hand in marriage. Mind you, he doesn't even know her name, and, like, she's still mute. Like, she has not spoken a word.
Which is insane that she hasn't spoken anything.
Right, and we're all just, like, infatuated by her. Like, she's so beautiful. I don't even need to know her name. She doesn't even have to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I want it. Like, that's crazy. But to say the least, the Shelton family was pissed. Olivia basically threw a tantrum and told her mom to do whatever needs to be done to make sure that that marriage doesn't happen.
That's great.
Yep. So you can imagine they do something sane, right? You know.
I mean.
This is the same family everybody that just does. Locked her up.
Yeah.
Well, this led Olivia's mother to take matters into her own hands and did what a lot of people in the 1800s did. They accused the girl of being a witch.
Woo!
She's a witch, Olivia's mother said to the town's preacher. It was the only way the girl could have possibly entrapped every man in town. After seemingly appearing out of nowhere and saying no words, she told him that she had to have bewitched the entire town into thinking she was beautiful. She was determined on convincing the preacher that the girl was evil and succeeded. Which, honestly, it is kind of crazy. Like, it's, like, the perfect scenario to, like, accuse somebody of a witch. She showed up out of nowhere. She's beautiful and gorgeous, like.
And doesn't talk.
And doesn't talk. She just came out of nowhere. It is kind of crazy. Did anybody
see The Little Mermaid?
Nick is asking the real questions. That is right? So true.
Tell me about it. She showed up out of nowhere and can't talk.
And she was beautiful and gorgeous, and yep. Prince Harry fell in love with her.
Yep.
Wow. Maybe this is really just The Little Mermaid.
It's like, do we know how close they were to the ocean?
I don't know. Maybe. We were in Tennessee, so.
Oh, then why did I say north?
I don't know, and why did I let you?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever.
I thought we were in Maine.
My geography is terrible, so.
I don't know why I thought we were in Maine.
I don't know. You just weren't listening. You heard coffee, and that was it.
And you said, yeah, I heard coffee, that was it. So, there's definitely no ocean. Maybe she's like a mermaid of the creek.
Mermaid of the creek.
Yeah.
That'll work.
It works.
We'll go with it.
It's crazy.
Right?
Probably some creek witch that has her voice now.
Some creek witch that stole her voice.
Or it's a legitimate thing and she was like,
yeah, right,
deaf like, and like couldn't speak because she was deaf.
Well, I also haven't finished the story yet.
Oh, that's right. I'm making assumptions.
So she, the preacher, and the townsfolk all conspired to rid themselves of the evil enchantress by burning, hanging, or drowning. But in the end, they decided to barbarically bury her alive and throw stones on her grave so she couldn't dig her way out.
That sounds like a great way to...
Sounds like my biggest fear. Sounds like quite literally one of my biggest fears, being buried alive.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Just minutes after they got their plan together, the townsfolk headed to the Shelton's home and dragged the still no-named woman out of the house. They treated her terribly, hitting her, spitting at her, and she still never once spoke. Even when they tied her hands behind her back, tied them to a pole, and dragged her to her grave, she never said a word.
I'm telling you, she's probably, like, deaf. Did you, you said how far back we were with this, right?
1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, just before she was to be thrown into the pit and covered, buried alive, the girl looked directly at Olivia, spoke, and said, "I am Sadie Baker." It was the only thing she ever said before meeting her ultimate end. The story goes. And apparently, after all that, life just returned to normal for the Sheltons and the rest of the town. Is that not crazy?
That's wild.
Well, yeah, how did you think that we knew her name if she never, like, spoke? Somebody had to tell us. It was her.
Yeah, I
guess. She told us. She's the one who told us her name.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild, though?
That is wild.
So a few months after Sadie's public burial, Olivia married the man that originally asked for Sadie's hand and went on to have children of their own. She seemed to be happy for a second, but it didn't last long. After several years, Olivia is said to have gone mad, possibly out of guilt for what happened to Sadie or something just unexplainable. She accused her husband of wanting to be with Sadie instead of her, cut off all her hair, and tried to become Sadie. She would spend hours upon hours staring into the mirror and is said to even have seen hallucinations of Sadie in the mirror, which is crazy. It's like that Fleetwood Mac song. You'll never get away from the set. I'm going to haunt you. Like, yeah, I'm going to haunt your ways. Like, after, Olivia started to pull out clumps of her hair. Like, the girl was losing it. She was going mad.
She lost it.
Yeah. We've been lost.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband got especially concerned. So concerned that he took her to the same damn preacher that went along and accused Sadie of being a witch in the first place. Like, what?
She's probably a witch, too. I think my wife's a witch. She pulled her hair out.
So, the preacher's explanation. He says that what must have happened is that Sadie bewitched Olivia on the day of her murder to possess herself into Olivia. They started treatments, which don't really know what that means, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume, like, exorcism type of things.
Probably not
treatments,
good.
Right. Regardless of what they tried, nothing actually seemed to work. Then, one night, Olivia was seen leaving her house, screaming at the top of her lungs, "I am Sadie Baker." Her husband eventually caught up with her and tackled her to the ground. He claims she somehow managed to throw him off, all while, quote, laughing manically. She eventually got away from her husband and ran off into the woods. They searched these woods from top to bottom. Olivia was never seen again.
Maybe she ended up in a village and was mute and didn't talk. And then got accused of
witch. It's just a whole cycle.
It's like that movie It Follows.
Yeah.
I think that's the one where you, like, they keep passing it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like that.
That's actually a wild take on it. What if
that's like the real life It Follows.
Yeah. As I said earlier, the spot where Sadie is said to be buried was marked by a single headstone engraved with just her name. No death date or anything else, just her name. People say that you could still see the remnants of rocks that they used to cover her grave, but it's mostly covered by grass now. We're talking like 1800s here. Reports started emerging of ghostly sightings by the grave. Some believed it to be Sadie herself, while others said that it was Olivia coming back, keeping watch over her grave. There's some people that believe Sadie's ghost still haunts the ground, while the other people think that it's Olivia's ghost that haunts the grave for the guilt that she feels for what happened to Sadie.
I was going to say, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I think that's why she, like, lost her mind and everything, too, because she was like, my husband wanted Sadie Baker. Well, no crap.
Yeah.
He went and knocked on the door and I married Sadie.
Right. And then you married him and then you're confused as to why feel like my husband did want to marry her? It's almost like he told you that, babe.
Yeah.
And then you literally accused her of being a witch and killed her.
Yep.
Quite literally. Mm-hmm. Like,
now he's probably like, oh, I'm going to get like hemlock tea or something literally. Like that. So I guess I got to go along with it.
Right. Seriously, could you imagine being him?
Yeah.
Like, actually, imagine being him in that scenario. You're like, okay, so I just asked this girl to marry me, and now they're all accusing her of being a witch.
And now she's being burned and buried alive.
Being buried alive right in front of my face. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess this is the time where I ask Olivia to marry me.
Yep.
Like, what? Yep. How did we get there?
Mm-hmm.
The headstone can routinely be seen with various coins, horseshoes, flowers, and other trinkets left for Sadie as gifts. Through the years, people started leaving tributes to the ghost in order to keep them from haunting their homes and or setting a curse on you.
Hmm.
But I feel like that's a little crazy because, like, she was never known when she was alive to be setting curses on people. So why are we just, you know, like, I feel like she just unfortunately met a crappy fate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was a witch at all.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But I think that that was crazy. Crazy little story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the whole witch thing is wild. I think if I was born in the 1800s, they probably would have tried to burn me at the stakes.
Well, I mean, you could just accuse that rate, like, you can just get in a disagreement with your neighbor, and as long as you called witch first, you'd win.
Right, you're winning.
Yeah. Like, witch!
Yeah, that's how it was back then.
Like, and for whatever reason, I think we talked about it in a earlier podcast, too. It always seems like the accuser's name was Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. it's funny how that happens.
I'd like to know if people, like, if anybody tried to do research and, like, actually figure out, like, where did Sadie come from, and do we know why or where? Like, it'd be interesting to see if somebody actually tried to do that and, like, put those pieces together.
Right, because, like, who is she?
Mm-hmm.
Who was she?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So somebody do that and get back to us. You can let us know.
You said, do that, and it instantly made me think of... I've been watching Bluey a lot. And they... What was it? Bingo was just saying something, and she was like, yeah, the doodad.
Doodad.
Oh, there was this episode, they're doing, like, taxi or something. And Bingo was a mechanic, and she was just like, oh, your doodad's bad. I was like, man, if it was only that simple.
If only my mechanic job could be as simple as your doodad's bad.
Yeah, I may try that at work.
There you go.
My boss will come over to me, what's wrong with this? The doodad.
You let me know how that works out for you, honestly. I will.
We'll let all of you guys know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wraps it up for me this week in the archives. I hope you enjoyed my little Sadie Baker story time.
Yeah, hopefully I guess we should have said it beforehand, because you could have, like, it's like hot chocolate season, too, so you could have, like, cozied up underneath some nice little warm blanket and watch the snow fall out the window and listen to Sadie Baker.
Yeah.
But now you're hearing it now.
But now
so
you're hearing
replay
it now.
This episode and do it.
Start it all over.
Yeah.
Do it from the top.
Well, that was a good episode. I liked it. If you all liked it, I mean, you know by now, like, follow, comment. It only helps us grow, helps us reach others, helps us get better. You know our social medias. Always feel free to email us at ominousarchives@gmail.com. We enjoy answering. It's fun getting to connect with people and hear some of their stories. Always, as always, gotta thank Sam for all the hard work she does in helping get these episodes together. Go check her blog out at scaremesam.com. You could also listen to her podcast, Scare Me Sam. If you're looking for a book, I'd say for Halloween, but we're in Christmas time. Maybe there's a Christmas horror that she has reviewed, but that's what she does. She likes to go through and review horror thriller books and kind of talk about them. So if you're interested in that, go check her out. Other than that, thanks for joining us on this. I don't know if I'd call it a haunted journey.
Yeah, just like
this interesting, witchy story.
Witchy journey.
Yeah, this spooky, witchy story through Tennessee, not Maine. And until next time, as always, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.